chapter number 6, book of Galatians, chapter number 6, and I want to give you just a thought that I have for tonight. I don't feel like I'll be very long this afternoon, but I want to just share with you a thought that the Lord has given me for this afternoon and given me this week from Galatians chapter 6. And if you're there, if you'll stand with me, we'll read the first 10 verses together. The first 10 verses. I could probably just read one verse, but I feel like we'll read the first 10. And then we'll take our text out of one of these verses. Verse number 2 will be our text verse for tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And our text verse, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you'd take this thought, God, that you've given to me and develop it into a message. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be burden-bearing Christians. Lord, that we would love each other and care about each other and support each other in this thing called life. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage us and challenge us from the Word of God tonight. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. And amen. You can be seated. Several years ago, I remember I was at work just down the street, and I had a lady come into the office, and she was looking for new floor covering. And as we were talking, she began to share with me her testimony. She told me that several months prior to that, she was diagnosed with cancer. And cancer had taken over her body, and it was so severe that they weren't able to treat her here locally. And so they had sent her out of state, I believe it was to the University of Duke, and they'd been treating her there for her cancer for several months. And as she was gone having these treatments and battling with cancer, just trying to save her life, a pipe burst in her home where nobody was staying, nobody was living. And as you can imagine, it flooded her house, it destroyed her walls, it destroyed her floors, it destroyed her furniture. And I could not imagine battling for my life for several months and coming home and finding that. And I asked her, I said, "How have you been able to deal with it all?" And she said, "Josh, let me share a secret with you that I discovered many years ago." She said, "A burden shared is a burden divided, but a joy shared is a joy multiplied." And she said, "I've had others that have helped me, and God has helped me. And that's how I've been able to get through all of it." Early this week, the Lord began to speak to my heart regarding the topic of bearing each other's burdens. And I want to preach tonight on the thought, bearing one another's burdens. I believe God gave me this thought for two different reasons. I believe, first of all, God gave this to me because it is my duty and my responsibility as your pastor to help you bear your burdens. God has gave me a heavenly privilege and a heavy responsibility to be the pastor of this church. And it is my responsibility, God told me this week, to listen. It is my responsibility to linger in prayer. And it is my responsibility to love the people of Northside Baptist Church. In fact, the thought and the verse has been on my heart that the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, where the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that it is profitable for you. God has spoken to me and told me how that it is my responsibility to bear those burdens and to watch over your souls. I really believe that when I stand before God, God will hold me accountable for the way I handle church, the things I say behind this pulpit, the way I conduct myself inside God, Baptist Church. And it is my go further in this area of my life. Secondly, I think the Lord gave me this thought so that I could share it with you. You see, while it is my responsibility as the pastor to help bear the burdens of the fellow child of God, the responsibility does not end in the pulpit. You see, the responsibility of bearing burdens is not just for the pastor, but what we discover is that it's for all of us. You see, every one of us have burdens to bear. My burden may not be your burden. Your burden may not be mine, but we all have burdens. And it is our responsibility to share those things with each other. I want you to notice that when Paul said in verse 2, to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, he was writing to the church at Galatia. He was not writing to the church, but as their pastor to the church, saying it is all of your responsibilities to do this. I believe Christ had this thought in mind when he said in John chapter 13, verse 35, he said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. You see, that word love in that verse is not a emotional, lovey-dovey feeling. It is something that you do. It is something that you show. It is love in action, you see. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. If you bear one another's burdens, if you love one another, if you show love. I'm not sure if I've got a message tonight or just a few thoughts, but I'll give you what I've got. And I'll preach for a moment on the thought bearing one another's burdens. Let me show you three things quickly. Notice this, number one, I want you to see the motivation of bearing burdens. The motivation. In the previous chapter, chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatian church about the fruits of the Spirit. Paul is writing to them about being a Spirit-filled, fruit-bearing child of God. He writes in chapter number 5 and he says, to walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He tells them in chapter 5, and these are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so on and so forth. And then he begins in chapter 6 and says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I see Paul writing now in chapter 5 about being a Spirit-filled child of God. And then in chapter 6 he says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. You see, Paul, when he writes about the Spirit-filled life, the fruitful life in chapter 5, and bearing burdens in chapter 6, that is not two separate topics, but that is one topic. It is all wrapped up together. I believe tonight that the Spirit-filled child of God, fruit-bearing child of God, will be someone that is concerned with someone else. Would you agree with me tonight that the man, if there was any man that was filled with the Spirit of God, it was the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you agree with me there? I find it interesting that this Spirit-filled man, Christ, never performed one miracle for his own good. Everything he did it for somebody else. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Yet, when the 5,000 needed to be fed, he gave them bread. When the 4,000 needed to be fed, he gave them bread. When Peter needed to pay his taxes, he put a coin in the fish's mouth. Hey, when somebody needed their child raised from the dead, he was there. When Lazarus was dead, He was there. When the blinded eyes couldn't see, He was there. When the lame man couldn't walk, He was there. When the multitude was hungry and thirsty, He was there. He was always doing something for somebody else. In fact, the greatest act of love that humanity has ever known was shown on Calvary's hillside. And there the Son of God died in the place of you and I, wicked sinners. He did not have to die. Death had no claim on Him, but yet He loved us and He bore our burdens on Calvary and He died in our place. He was a Spirit-filled man. You'll never convince this preacher that you're right with God, Spirit-filled, fruit-bearing if you're not concerned with somebody else. The Bible says that we should see some motivation in chapter 6. I want you to notice this, the motivation to bear one another's burdens. Notice this, letter A. I want you to notice the letter's commandment. The letter's commandment. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and in doing so, he commands this church in verse 2 that they are to bear each other's burdens. This was not something that Paul, nor was it something that God left up for debate. Paul did not write to them and say, this is a suggestion. This could help your Christian life. This could help you to win friends and influence people if you would just care about someone else. Yet rather, Paul said, bear you one another's burdens. That was a commandment. He did not say, if it is convenient for you, if you don't have anything else going on, if you don't have burdens of your own to bear, bear somebody else's. But he said, bear ye one another's burdens in verse number 2. You see, that is a commandment. That is something that God is telling us to do. If I was to ask you tonight before we started service, if I said it just individually, I called you aside, and I said, I want you to give me one of the commandments. One of you might have said, thou shalt not kill, and you'd have been right. Somebody could have said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, you'd have been right. And somebody might have said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and you'd been right. But somebody also could have said, bear ye one another's burdens, and you'd have been right too. I'm telling you that bearing burdens is not something that is optional for the child of God. It is a requirement for the children of God to bear each other's burdens. You say, what motivation should I have to bear somebody else's burdens? Well, because God said for you to. Amen. Amen. Verse 2 is a commandment. Not only do I see the letter's commandment, but I see, let it be the law of Christ. Verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Not only should we be motivated by the commandment of the Scriptures, but we should be motivated by the law of Jesus Christ. Now that brings up a question. What is the law of Christ? He said, if you bear one another's burdens, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. I believe the law of Christ he's speaking about in verse 2 is what you and I commonly refer to as the golden rule. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, wherefore all things whatsoever you would that men do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You see, the Lord said something like this, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Is that not what we tell our children? Amen. Treat other people the way you want them to treat you. You see, that was the law of Christ. Christ said, do to others what you would want them to do unto you. Now, I think sometimes we get that mixed up. I think sometimes we take that golden rule and we think of it as maybe a way by which we can get people to do what we want them to do. You know, if I do this to them, they'll do it to me. And see, we're selfish in the way we think most of the time. If I can do this for them, then they'll do this in return for me. But the reality of the text is this. You do good unto others, not because they'll do something good for you, but because that's the way you yourself would want to be treated. You see, it does not matter if you do something good for me, and it does not matter if you do right by me, and it does not matter if you bear my burdens, I still have a biblical responsibility to help bear yours. I have a biblical responsibility to treat you right and to do you right and to show you love and to show you compassion because I would want somebody to treat me that way. Amen. And now Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, by bearing each other's burdens, we are helping each other. We are not only helping each other, though, we're helping ourselves. You say, what should I do to bear somebody's burdens? I tell you the best way to handle the situation if you see somebody in need is to put yourself in their shoes. Imagine how you would want somebody to treat you if you had a heavy load that you was carrying. And then you treat them that way. If you were hurting, how would you want somebody to help you? That's the way you should help them. How would you want somebody to treat you if you had made a mistake and you had faltered? That's the way you should treat them. Boy, I felt something right there. Let me say that again. If you made a mistake, how would you want somebody to treat you? Let's pause for a minute right there. You know, Brother Scott, when you do something, it's a sin. Bless God, it's sin. But now when I do it, it's just a little mistake. Isn't that right? That's the way we think about things, isn't it? Amen? Somebody messes up. Something goes wrong in somebody's life. Boy, we get in the car. Honey, I wonder what they did. Boy, they blew it this time. I knew they was going to do it. Hey, didn't I tell you 2 weeks ago? When we was headed, I told you they was going to mess up. But now how would you like it if you was the one that made the mistake? How would you want them to talk about you? How would you want them to react towards you? Would you want them to treat you like an outcast, or would you want them to love you and care about you and restore you back into fellowship in the spirit of meekness? Verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Why should I do that, Paul? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. I see the motivation for bearing each other's burdens. Notice this, number 2. Not only do I see the motivation for bearing each other's burdens, but I see the method of bearing each other's burdens. Verse 4 says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Being motivated to do something is wonderful. Going out and doing it is even better. In verse 2, Paul gives us the motivation for bearing burdens. And then in verse 4, he says, get out there and get it done. In this portion of Scripture, I see two different ways that we can help each other in the burdens that we bear. The method, notice this letter A, we can help each other bear burdens by the things we say. The things we say. Verse 6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, I understand the literal translation of verse 6. The literal translation of verse 6 is this. If a man gives you the word of God, then it is your God-given responsibility to communicate to him in all good things. Paul's saying in verse 6, pay your preacher. That's what he's saying. Amen. You can dissect it however you want to. That's pay the preacher in verse 6. I'm not saying that because I'm the preacher. I'm saying because that's verse 6. But notice the language in which he uses in verse 6 to communicate this to us. He says, let him that teacheth communicate, or let him that is taught communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. You see those words teach and taught and communicate. They speak about the way we verbalize things. I want you to know that one of the greatest ways that you and I can bear each other's burdens is by the way we verbalize things, the things we say. If I see that you are burdened and I see that you are weary and I see that you are carrying a heavy load, it helps tremendously if I stop by and put my arm around your shoulder and say, I've noticed what you're going through, and I want you to know that I love you and that I care about you and that I'm praying for you. Amen? Helps a lot, does it not? Hey, I'm telling you that we should verbalize this. You say, oh, I care about them. I appreciate the fact that you care, but have you told them that you care? I appreciate the fact that you're troubled about what they're going through, but have you told them that you're troubled about it? Have you sent them a card? Have you called them on the telephone? Have you stopped by to say, hey, I just love you and I care about you? I'm talking about it helps when somebody says that. When they just verbalize they're on your side, on your team. Amen? You know, I've been through places in my life where my faith was small. My faith was shallow. One of the greatest blessings when my faith is shallow is for somebody whose faith is strong to come by where I'm at. Because they can speak things into my life that I can't speak into my life at the time. They can say to me, it's going to be okay. And something inside of me, the Holy Ghost, does a flip-flop and says, I told you it's going to be okay. And somebody can say, God's never failed. He's never going to fail you. And something inside says, amen, that's right. And they're speaking life into me. Too often, and this is way too often in the church, but too often in our society and even in our churches, we've taken the attitude that when somebody's down and somebody's bearing a burden, that it is our responsibility to put our foot on top of their head and push them down up further. Just watch them drown. Instead, we ought to be lifting them up, going down to where they're at and saying, can I help you? Is there something I can do to help you? I'm still talking about bearing burden. I'm talking about the things you say. But you know what? While it is wonderful for me to come and speak to you and try to encourage you, you know one of the greatest things I can do for you if you've got a burden to bear is I can speak to the Lord about it. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, I believe it is, says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, if you've got something that you're dealing with and you've got a load that you're carrying, it is my God-given responsibility to go to God and talk to Him about it. What would be wrong if we just made it a habit at Northside Baptist Church if we saw a fellow Christian come down to this altar and it was obvious that they were carrying a load? What would be wrong with four or five other sisters, if it's a lady, or four or five other brothers, if it's a man, gathering around them, just praying with them? How about it? You want somebody to pray for you, don't you? Gather around. Just let them know I care. Just let them know I'm in this with you. I'm going through this with you. You are not alone. I'm here for you. Dear sister at Landmark used to sing a song, Sister Heather, and she'd say, if you've got a problem, I'd sure like to share. There's one special way I can show you I care. I could offer opinions that might prove untrue, but for the only sure answer, here's what I'll do. I'll talk to my Father for you. And if I know my Father, here's what He'll do. He'll lay at your feet all the things you pursue. It's no bother for my Father. We'll do it for you. I'm talking about praying for each other. In fact, I think that it would do us good as a church to just get in the habit of praying for each other. I don't know how you pray. You do it differently than me, I'm sure. I've done it different ways. In my mind, the best way to pray for you all is to go pew by pew. In my mind, I can picture where we sit, and I always pray for Sister Helen first because you're the closest one to the front on this side. You want to get prayed for first, you sit right here. I'm just saying. Sorry, Travis, you're in the back, buddy. That's just where you're sitting, big guy. And if you move seats a lot, I can't help it if I forget about you. But I'll go and I'll pray for Sister Helen. And then I'll pray for David and Teresa. In fact, there's been times, Wally, when it was just me in this church. Just me. And I'd walk down through here and I'd touch this pew and I'd say, God, I don't know what Sister Helen's dealing with today, but God, I need you to help her. God, I want you to help David and Teresa. God, I want you to help Henry and his wife. I want them to be back in church and I want them to get right. I want them girls to be saved. Amen. I'm talking about bearing each other's burdens. I've got a list on my iPad, Grandpa. Friday, I tried to guess. I probably called out, I don't know, probably somewhere around 300 names to God. Just praying. Praying for my church, praying for my family. Hey, I'm not saying that to brag on me. I'm saying find you a routine. Amen. That may not work for you. It works for me. But find what works for you and do it. I'm talking about the things we say. Not only the things we say, by what we say, our method by what we say, but not only that, the things you say, but notice this letter B, the things you show. The things you show. Verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. I think that it is a blessing to go to your closet and pray in secret for those that you know are hurting. But I also think that it is a blessing to go to them and try to help them if you have the capability of doing so. You see, verse 6 tells us to, or verse 10 tells us, if we have opportunity, that we should do good unto all men. I believe that verse 6 and verse 10 go together. We should pray for each other and we should do good to each other. James said in James chapter 2, verse 15, he said, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You know what James was saying? He was saying encouraging somebody and actually helping somebody are two different things. If I know that you're going through something and I can help you with it, it is my responsibility to help you bear that burden. I believe Northside Baptist Church is good at that. A couple Sundays ago, I told you, I said, church, there's somebody in our church family that they've got a need, and I want you to help. We're going to take up an offering. I want you to help. And as we passed the offering, played around, it began to fill up. We took money out of the church and gave it to the family. God allowed us to, do you see the difference there? To show them that we care. You see, I can tell you, but it's also my responsibility to show you. I see the motive. I see the method. Let me give you this. I'm done. Number three, I see the mistake. I see the mistake. I want you to see one last thing. There's a danger when it comes to bearing each other's burdens. The danger is expecting others to bear your burdens and you not taking part in bearing your own burden. Notice this. Notice this, the mistake. There's the mistake of forgetting. The mistake of forgetting in verse 4. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The way that verse 4 is written, it almost seems like a reminder to me. It's almost like Paul is reminding them that while we need to help others bear their burdens, we do not want to lose our own personal responsibility. Don't forget to do your own work, he says in verse 4. In fact, he follows it up in verse 5 by saying, "For every man shall bear his own burden." I mean this just as nicely as I can say it. But I've had people come to me before, come on multiple occasions, and say, "Pastor, will you pray for me? Pastor, will you pray for my family?" And I'm glad to. I'm glad to pray for them. I'm glad to pray for their family. But after they do that over and over and over again, there's something inside of me that wants to say, "Yes, I'll pray, but when's the last time you prayed?" "Yes, I'll pray for your family, but why don't you bring them to church on Sunday?" Amen. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I think we forget sometimes our own personal responsibility. Amen. I'm talking about there's something that you and I need to be doing. If I've got a financial need, I can share that with you and you can help. But I better go to work on Monday. Amen. I'm talking about the mistake of forgetting. Don't forget that you've got to do what you can do. I see the mistake of forgetting, and I see the mistake of farming. I said it that way for the sake of alliteration. Verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." We call this the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is what's known in the Word of God as an immutable law. That word immutable means that it's never changing. It does not change. Essentially, it means this: you can't plant corn and expect watermelons. It doesn't work that way. It does not change. What you sow, you're going to reap. In fact, this law is so immutable that it does not change even after you get saved or get right with God. Oh, Saul of Tarsus, before he was saved, he stood there and held the coats while they stoned Stephen. And he got saved in chapter 9. But in a few chapters later, they stoned him in Lystra. I said it's immutable. It does not change. How does that apply to bearing burdens? Sometimes I make the mistake of forgetting that I have to do what I can do. But sometimes I also make the mistake of when you've got a burden and I don't help you, why should I expect you to help me? If I'm not willing to sow into your life, why should I expect to reap things from you? You see, it is my responsibility to help you. And it is your responsibility to help me. And if you are helping me and I am helping you, then we can both be there for each other. You know, something I've noticed in my home, it seems this way, but I've noticed it outside of my home also, but I've noticed this in my home. It seems like when I'm down, my wife can be up and encourage me. And when she's down, I can be up and I can encourage her. You know what we're doing? We're sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. There's going to be a time that I need you. So I need to sow into you while you need me. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brother Eric, you come. Brother Scott, you come with a song. I don't know. I don't know if I had a message or a thought, but I believe the Lord gave me that for this afternoon. They're going to play, they're going to sing. And if you've got something you need to pray about, these altars are open. We invite you to come down here. If there's something that you're bearing tonight, a weight that you're carrying, I invite you to bring that. bring it to the Lord and let others help you carry that load. A burden shared is a burden divided. While they sing, you pray if you need to.